if you make an RPG and you don't give me the ability to hide helmets, I'm never putting on a helmet.
Like, you would rather go without the stats.
No. Like, you could give me the best helmet in the game that's going to let me be just feel almost invincible, and I'm not going to wear it.
Welcome to the Grinding Games Podcast, where we talk about our favorite games, video game news, and just about anything else. My name is Matt, and as always, I'm here with my best friends, Marissa and Sacco. I'd like to remind everybody that there are no stupid questions, so I'm going to start us off with a question right now. Marissa, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I absolutely love doing the intro every single week.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fun for me. It gives me some routine. It makes me feel important because I don't edit. Or
do no, you don't. Yeah. Do you want to edit? You can edit.
No. I'm good with that.
I'm happy to give up the editing job if you want it. I'm not going to stand in front of you being more involved if you want to be more involved.
Yeah. I think that's a good call.
I do not want that. I am saying, you know, sometimes I go really fast, get it over with. Sometimes I slow it down. I enunciate differently. Today, I think I did it really fast. Got it in one take, too. Rare, super rare.
Mm-hmm.
An important part of the intro, though, some would say a feature of the intro, is the segue.
The segue.
Ah!
And there's no better segue than Marissa. What's today's topic?
That you actually did it. Wow.
You did it.
Oh, Matt. My God. You segue.
I'm proud of you.
Maybe I'll spell it right in the description this time.
Hey, yeah. Don't get used to it.
Yeah, no, this week is calling out Sacco because
I didn't spell it
in the descriptions of our old podcast, like a podcast, a recent podcast.
Last week.
And it was
last
week's Segway.
Podcast. Wait, Marissa, don't say anything. Sacco, you know you made a mistake. It was recently.
Yeah.
Surely you learned from your mistake.
No, not
spell
yet.
Spell Segway right now.
Not yet.
Go ahead.
When I write the description for
right
this Segway, for this Segway,
spell
for this
right
podcast.
Now.
I'll spell segue correctly. I haven't looked it up
off,
yet.
Don't look it up.
Off the top of my head, S-E-G-U-E. Segue.
Wait, S-E-G-U-E?
Yeah.
Segue.
Is it like, what is it?
I mean,
how do I spell it?
That's how you spell segue.
Actually?
I didn't know if that was a bit or not.
How did I spell it in the
okay, guys?
In the description,
you spelled it like a segue,
like the people
way.
On the bikes, S-E-G-W-A-Y, but the bikes are horizontal.
It? Like Paul Blart Mall Cop segue.
Great movie. Fun time movie.
I love how you spelt it, and I was like, that's not a segue. That's when you like play one piece of music to the next piece of music without interrupting it, which I guess is the technical. That's what a segue is.
Yeah.
Wow,
I nailed it. Well, now I know how to spell it for Wednesday.
You know what's a piss off is that Sacco knows how to spell it and still looked at it, spelt it wrong, and didn't correct it.
Segway.
Also, the idea that this
I'm gonna be
man
honest, there was there was a not 0%
okay, she wasn't
that,
talking, so it's that, fine. You can just interrupt.
Miss it. Go on.
It's fine. We were talking before this podcast about how the most annoying thing for Sacco to edit is that we interrupt each other all the time.
And I just
and I would
did
just
it.
Like to...
I did it again.
Right on cue, Marissa. If we all had a mark to stand on, he is standing on his.
Yeah,
he my mark
said,
is
this
your
is
marks.
My place. Yeah, actually, he is jumping on our marks. That's what's happening here. Anyway, you asked me what the topic was. The topic... is I'm happy to share the favorite features in the video games that we played. And I have a clarifying question. So this was Sacco who came up with this topic.
Yeah.
Features or mechanics?
Either one.
Uh-oh.
Feature, mechanic, mode, whatever you want.
Glitch.
Mode?
Yeah.
Mode is, well, hold on.
Give me an example of each of those.
Okay.
No, I want an example of each of those. So feature, mechanic, and mode.
Okay, feature?
Yeah.
Online multiplayer for Stardew Valley. Fucking love having the ability to play on my farm with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mechanic, same game. Sorting your inventory with a button. Clicking a button and it organizes your inventory.
That's a good feature.
Sick mechanic. That's a mechanic. Is that a mechanic or a feature?
Well, they're all features according to you.
No, I said that was an example of a mechanic.
But you said we're all... That's when Marissa said, what is a feature? And you said
and I
all
said,
of it.
No, I said online... Playing online with my friends, that's a feature.
So we're not talking about mechanics today. We're only talking about features.
No, I don't understand. What's a
I
feature?
Know, that's
what's a mechanic?
We're asking game, you, buddy.
Game mode. I'm telling you right now, a feature. Online multiplayer is a feature. On the being able to play with my friends, feature. Being able to sort my inventory, that's a game mechanic. Because okay, that's something
gonna,
in the game.
I'm gonna say something to you.
Is it gonna help me?
A feature
yeah.
is like fingers. A mechanic is like a thumb, right? So you can call a thumb.
That didn't clarify finger. It at all for me.
Like all hot tubs, all jacuzzis are all hot thumbs. Tubs, but not all hot tubs are jacuzzis.
Yeah, all thumbs are fingers, but yeah. not all fingers are thumbs.
Okay, the examples I gave.
So all mechanics are features, but not all of the features you'll find in a video game are about the mechanics. So the mechanic is more specific.
Can you tell me what a mechanic is?
I have a question for Sacco.
Online multiplayer, was that a, did I get that right? Was that a feature?
I have a question is, for Sacco.
It's a test for Sacco. What
do you want to talk about today when you said...
Anything. Any part of the video game that you like. What was your favorite part of your favorite video games?
Thank you. So my favorite part
feature mechanic mode, whatever the fuck you want to talk about.
This is 10 out of 10 just Crown Teeth and content. If this is your first podcast of ours, welcome. Also, you can expect this at everyone because this is the chaos that we strive for yeah, every
the
time.
The previous 166
the
of these?
The game mechanics are the rules and how you can make choices or actions in a game.
Oh.
So okay. A feature, so like the sorting would be a mechanic.
Yeah, okay, sure, so I got that right.
But that's nailed also it. A and feature.
But it's also a feature, yeah, but it's also a mechanic. Nailed it.
Yeah, I think the feature would be more like the graphics or the sound design.
Okay.
Right?
No problem.
But like features includes mechanics, fair so enough. It is more okay. general. So what feature, did you mean by mode?
Like EASHL for NHL is a sick mode. The only reason we buy NHL is to play EASHL with each other.
Okay.
Super fun mode.
Yeah, so there's
so many
letters. This is also, I feel like, a mechanic. Like, it's a different... You like mechanics that are in certain modes.
But, no, I like the whole mode in general, because the whole mode allows us to
yeah,
create a team.
Yeah, but you like the mode because the it changed a specific mechanic.
But what's the mechanic it changes? It changes all the mechanics, Marissa. We play as one player. We play together on a team. We play other teams. We get to make our own arena. We get to make a mascot. We get to make a logo, a name. We have to,
those are the mechanics.
And when we inevitably go on a 20-game losing streak, we get to rebrand the team with a new name and a new jersey and a
are
new stadium.
Are those not the mechanics of the game?
But that's it's a game mode. The whole thing is encapsulated into
yeah,
a mode
called... Yeah, but everything you like about it is the mechanics.
Online. World of Chell.
Yeah, but okay,
the official
okay, so...
Name?
Okay. World of Chell is the game mode that it's under, yeah.
We're doing all three, Matt. We're doing all three.
Yeah, whatever you want.
I would like to make an application.
No. I would like people who are coming up with the topics, which is not me. I exclude myself from this because I created... For those who haven't heard the lore of this podcast, I used to... Yeah,
everything
we have lore.
Lore.
We've been around
what?
For we've been around for 3 years. Lore. We have lore. This is Crown Teeth and lore at this point.
We should start like slowly put it in storylines.
I would like to finish a sentence.
That's your first... Like to... Marissa, the fact that you thought you would is your first problem. The fact Marissa, that you
this,
ever thought
this
you
is
could.
Podcast 167. What have you ever been able to finish a sentence?
Why are you victim blaming? Why are you victim
How dare
blaming?
You, Sacco? That's fucking fucking horrible.
I'm gonna leave now. I'm sorry, bye.
Yeah, you should.
All I wanna say here is
all I wanna I know use... is...
That was Matt. That was the bad boy that time. Bad Matt. That's copyright and you interrupted Marissa.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help it.
Okay. The lore of choosing the topic is that I used to do it because I used to come up with this huge list and we used to do it communally. I will say that. But I had the list in the sense that I spent my free time coming up with this list. And every time we came to choose a topic, we got a whole bunch of, I don't really want to talk about, I don't really have anything. I don't really, it got a little bit whiny in my opinion. And so I said, fine, I feel like you don't like my topics and that's fine. So you guys are now in charge of this and I no longer do it. And you came up with the favorite features in video games that we played. And that's a fine topic. But I was asking a clarifying question.
Yeah.
And you said all three.
Yeah.
So now I feel like those are the rules.
Okay.
Matt What is your favorite feature you've played in a video game? I need a favorite mechanic, and I need a favorite mode.
Oh, we don't need all.
I don't know. I can maybe answer this. Marissa, I can maybe answer this.
You're making this so hard. We don't have to play on hard difficulty. This is an easy difficulty podcast.
I have a list.
We come here to hang out and chill. We don't come here. We come here for a good time, not a hard time.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fine. Feature. We can just
if we had t-shirts, that would be a t-shirt of this podcast.
What I think, you know, what I think is hilarious also, because you were like, for anybody tuning in, if like this is your first episode, like prepare for chaos. I just love the fact that like surely we must do some prep, and we're clarifying what the question means
in the podcast.
10 minutes into the podcast, we're like, so what do we mean when we like when I came up with last week's topic, you answered a question, you asked the question, and we clarified it beforehand, and we came prepared. Today we're like, what are we talking about? Let's just start over. We're halfway through. Let's change the topic.
There was a key point that you said of last week's topics is that Marissa texted the group and Marissa clarified the topic. And sometimes Marissa is a little bit busy.
I think it's hilarious.
And I think two other people maybe should have clarified the topic beforehand.
You know what? I didn't even think. Sacco said feature, and I said, I know what features are.
No, Matt's exact response. Like,
when you say feature, what do you mean?
Matt's exact response several hours after I had sent this to the group chat was,
working. How dare you?
Works for me. That was your exact word for word what you said.
I was at work when I said works for me.
Several hours? It wasn't even an hour.
It was several hours.
Several minutes.
It was not an hour. It was 53 minutes later. I feel like that's an appropriate amount of time.
I'm going to start us off with an easy feature that is in maybe all Grand Theft Auto games, but it was definitely in Vice City. Vice City lets you change the radio station. And I think it's an amazing feature that when you're driving around, I get to choose what I want to listen to. Not only, but it was like very themed. So Vice City takes place like in the 80s. So there's like the 80s like rock bands. And then there was like the 80s like disco, and then there was like the 80s pop, but then there was also a talk show that you could listen to, so you could listen to AM radio.
Yeah.
And it took place like in Miami, and like people would call into this radio show and they would just be the most fucking absurd fucking things.
Yeah, they had it in GTA 5 too. Yeah.
And honestly, my favorite thing, I'm just gonna say all racing games, like I love to play racing games for like 20 hours, maybe 15 hours, and then never again. And one of my biggest things is the music. I love the fucking fact that you just put whatever radio station on you want. I don't listen to a lot of electronic music. I listen to mostly rock music, but I do listen to some electronic music, and I find that I find the best songs.
Yeah, you find that you find a lot of verbs in that sentence.
The best songs that I've ever found in the electronic genre have always been from racing games.
Yes.
They're just always so fucking good. And then Vice City also kind of like, I was very young when I played Vice City, so that kind of also introduced me to like 80s music and like the Human League and like fucking Wang Chung. Fucking the just being able to switch radio stations while driving is a great feature that not all racing games let you do, but they should.
Yeah.
And
yeah, most racing games just have like a soundtrack, and you can like sometimes
skip songs or stuff like that.
Yeah. But like for the most part,
being
it's just
able
like,
to change
the
like
soundtrack.
The genre,
yeah,
like that's a big feature. And there then also specifically like the AM Vice City AM radio, like listen to what those guys have to say. They were fucking hilarious.
Yeah, there was one NHL, and I don't remember when it was, but it was on like the PS3, and you could put in your own song. So you could put songs on the PS3,
yeah,
and then in the game you could be like play the NHL playlist or play a custom playlist from your own music, and you can like set your entrance, like when your players are like running on, like skating onto the ice, you can set that song to whatever you wanted. So I did Burn It to the Ground by Nickelback.
Classic.
Dude, it was a sick song to like start like a hockey game with. I don't remember which one it was, but that was a sick feature.
I do think that that's a cool feature, but I also like sound design is like a very hard thing to do. And like if somebody put a lot of time to put modern songs that also fit the vibe, like I kind of feel bad. Just like, yeah, let me plug in my aux. I see that you spent hours and thousands of hours trying to set up a music design, a sound design for this game. Keep it current, somehow fresh. I'm going to plug my own music in and play the same song over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's fair. That's right. I mean, for the most part, most like I know, like the NHL soundtrack's always full.
Always slap. NHL, well, it's FIFA. Always fire.
Yeah, the always. Burnout had some sick soundtracks. Like, I'll, like some of these games really Super like speed. Yeah, always, they go ham on their good. Soundtracks.
I find that the NHL was always more like alternative rock.
It didn't used to be. Like, it used to like have fucking like
2009 and 2006, like yeah. when I was playing those games, like I had fucking some good rock songs.
The thing there. Is like, but like every once in a while they would have like some of like the hardest songs, and then they would have like 9 in the Afternoon by Panic at the Disco.
Like, yeah, but that's still like an alternative rock song. You yeah, know what I mean? Like you're not playing,
I know.
Like racing games have electronic beats,
yeah,
fucking
yeah, yeah.
EDM bangers, some yeah. fucking drum and bass driving down the road. That's what drum and bass sounds like. Fucking NHL always had great
they were like big
like rock, yeah, like rock alternative. And like I feel like FIFA always had like the indie pop. FIFA always had like
FIFA always FIFA. Had yeah they always good had indie like pop hits. Yeah,
anyways, we're not talking about soundtracks, we're talking about features.
Anyways, yeah,
Sacco, mm-hmm. what's one of your features that you like that you wanted to talk about so badly, which is why you came up with this topic?
Yeah, I mean, I rattled off a whole bunch already.
Cycles, this is done. I said mine, no, and he said, yeah, me too.
I got more. No, I hit so the Stardew Valley stuff, the sword in the inventory. That's a fucking huge one.
Sorting the inventory is great.
I just love that I can just go up to a chest and go organize, and then it just puts everything in fucking order. Yeah. I don't even care what the order is. I just want it to be in some sort of order. And
can you do that in Minecraft?
You can with mods. Yeah. So I've done it, like I've had a modded like playthrough. It was like Sky
really
Factory.
Grinds my gears.
It was like Sky Factory, but like it had like organized chests, and like you, it would just yeah. automatically organize everything for you. Or like you could have like a computer system and like store things in a computer, and like the computer, all you had to do was like every computer was attached to each other, so you always had access to all your shit.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah,
and I love
that was organized.
I love Stardew Valley's organized chest feature. I don't like how small the chests are, but I think they upgraded that.
Yes,
new update.
I think you said they did but that. Yeah. But yeah, organizing or just a quick organize is sick. The online, like have like playing with your friends, like we've had so much fun playing that game together. Excellent feature. Excellent. What else did I say? Oh, ESHL mode in NHL.
What does that mean?
So that is you create your own. It's the EA Sports Hockey League. So you create your own team with your friends. You all pick one player.
Is it similar to be a pro mode? Like,
yeah, basically it's like you
be a pro mode against other people.
Yeah. So like I would play like I would be like goalie, and then like one of my friends would be center, and then left wing, right. Like they would all have like we would be one player on the ice at all times.
Do you take breaks? Like if you're not on that line,
you're on the ice all the time. No, there's no line changes. You're on the ice the whole game. No, you get tired like in between plays. Like if you like sprint for too long, you'll get tired, and then you just have to not sprint, and then you get your energy back. But you don't have to like
the whistle
get
blows,
off the ice.
And you get like your energy back.
You get a little bit of energy back, or if you're like if it's like on a penalty, if you're on the penalty kill, you don't get energy back, but the power play does get energy back. Like it's like stuff like that. But like we've had. Like we didn't buy the last NHL, but the last ones that we have bought, we bought strictly to play that game mode. Like I don't think I played any other game mode really on most of them except for that. But excellent mode. Lots of fun.
Marissa, do you have a favorite feature?
I have favorite features, plural.
What's one of your
Okay, so I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3, so a lot of them are things that I think Baldur's Gate 3 has that I really like. And one of them is, and I've had this before in certain video games, but you can review the dialogue you've
oh that's done. Amazing.
Yeah, you can also do it in the middle of a conversation, so if you accidentally skip something or if you just miss something or aren't understanding about a choice, you can actually just review what has been said in the conversation already.
Just, like, read it back.
Yeah, you can just read it back, and I really love that because
you just have someone taking meeting minutes. Like, can we just
read
back
the
minutes?
Meeting minutes? Yeah. And also you can go back and review conversations that you've recently had. So you can go into your, I think it's in the journal, and read back the dialogue. And then they also have a combat log, so you can review what's been done. So
that's
if
sick,
you
yeah.
miss it as it pops up during combat, which is really helpful because some of the enemies, I'll just kind of give an example. I'm playing as a cleric, and there's a couple enemies that when you use radiant damage, it actually like pushes the damage back onto my character. And every once in a while, I'm like thinking ahead, or I'm not really like fully paying attention to what happened. And then I realize somebody doesn't have as much health as I think they should. So I can actually go back in and review it. And it's just a little bit nice because I think there's a lot of information in the game that you're being given like really fast sometimes.
Yeah.
And so being able to find it is really nice. Also, it is a game where the choices really do matter. So being able to actually fully understand the context if you miss something is pretty nice.
That's what I'm
really liking. Yeah. The weird thing about Baldur's Gate, and it's not really a big deal just because of how the game is set up, but it does feel weird when you're playing it, is you can't pause the game.
Yeah.
Interesting. Like ever? Like if you're in
combat. Yeah, but even if you're in single player.
Well, so when you hit the pause button, it doesn't still happens.
Like you're in the menu, yeah. But stuff still happens behind you.
Yeah. But the thing is you don't really need to pause.
Yeah, if you're in turn-based mode.
You can go into turn-based.
Yeah.
Mode. So you can always put it to a mode where everyone within your area will stop moving. And so you can prevent certain things from happening by going into that mode. So there's kind of almost a workaround to it, but it feels really weird, especially at first, because your instinct is to just pause it if you're like not paying attention for a second, or if you got to go to like the bathroom, but you just kind of need to like, I don't know, not put your characters in a situation where they're like actively taking damage, and then you're fine.
Yeah.
I think that actually makes the role playing a lot better. Like, it's weird coming from a video game perspective because you're like,
yeah,
in a video game, like, oh, like somebody, my phone is ringing. I got a text message. I have to go to the bathroom. Like, my immediate answer is going to be to pause.
Yeah.
Like, what if you, what if you don't pause and you click like the home button on your console?
Well, I guess it's just suspended.
Okay. So it does, like, it does suspend it, pause, it.
Yeah.
Like, it suspends the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it does like pause it that way. So that
I guess you could do that. Good. Yeah,
but like, so that's a wraparound, right? But it's also just like in like in a role playing setting, it's like somebody's texting me. Well, like you don't have a phone; you're a cleric in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Like you know what I mean? Like it brings you into the. I haven't played this game, but I'm assuming it would bring me way more into the world. I'd be way less willing to do stuff, which is a good thing and a bad thing because when I'm playing for 20 hours straight and.
Yeah, that's never happened.
You know, you play Twilight Princess for 20 hours and then we says go the fuck outside.
Yeah, it's kind of a goofy nice goober moment.
And like you're like, oh, maybe I should go outside. Maybe I should put the remote down and open my window. But for this game it's more of like the
But you're
more
like
you
I
play,
am a cleric.
Don't want
I am outside.
Play.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm already doing it.
I will say it's kind of nice. The one thing where maybe it doesn't work super well is in cutscenes. If you wanted to try to pause it, if there's a lot of talking or something before your character gets a turn to talk, you do have to wait essentially until that's kind of resolved itself. Generally, you'll end up with a dialogue choice anyway, so you can just treat that like a pause screen because nothing's going to happen in the meantime and there's no like quick time events in dialogue, so you don't have to react quickly. But I will say like that is also a little bit irritating if someone's like trying to talk to you or something while you're playing the game. You do actually have to wait for kind of a natural pause in the conversation in the game before you can go through that. You can't just pause it.
Yeah, I can definitely see like a lot of pros and a lot of cons. Like I can understand why they would do that. Is that a feature?
That's a feature, not being able to
a glitch?
Pause. I think it fits the game.
Yeah.
But I kind of wish you could pause the cutscenes. I feel like I'd be okay if you couldn't pause when you were just moving around, because if you accidentally get into combat or something, it's not like they can really attack you without
it, yeah.
Yeah, like you're gonna have to wait for your turn anyway, and you can have them sitting there as long as you need. So
yeah.
I will say also I hate the inventory system in Baldur's Gate. I don't hate it with a passion, but I've seen it done better where things get organized a lot easier.
Is it like Dungeons and Dragons though? Like I feel like the game really wants you to feel like you're playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, but the thing that irritates me is when things in my, like if I have multiple piles of the same thing.
Yeah.
And maybe I just don't know how to do it, but I can't like stack them.
You can't put them back together.
But if you had
a backpack. And that's irritating.
With potatoes in it, you couldn't stack your potatoes.
But you have like 6 potatoes stacked together and then there's 2 potatoes by themselves. Like, why isn't it 8 potatoes?
Well, you have a little sack of 6 potatoes, you know, and then you have 2 more potatoes.
Well, you can carry around sacks, too, and put things in the sacks.
Yeah, it's
so
weird.
So you're kind of wrong. It's like...
I don't know. I was just trying to, like, base it off of real life. Yeah. Like, if
and
I
the
had...
other thing is when you go to sell something, the way you can sort the inventory is different when you're talking to a shopkeeper than when it's just in your bag. There's different options.
I feel like, I mean,
so that's really weird.
Yeah.
And what I don't love about that is I really want to be able to sort and like just look at like the books I have, for example, because I pick up a lot of books, because I'd love to just send those to my camp because I don't need to carry them around. But I have to like pick through my inventory to get the books because I can't sort them by just books. But if I go talk to a shopkeeper, I can. Like I can just pull up all the books. And I don't know why that's a different thing.
Yeah, like,
why is that different?
I've never played this game and you have, but using my expert knowledge, I'm assuming that maybe there might be a solution somewhere. As somebody who's never played this game, I feel like there should be a solution to this.
What a fun little way to tell me you think I'm stupid.
I don't think you're stupid, Chris. I feel like that's a really that must be a huge complaint. Like there must be
some sort of things in the games that definitely don't like isn't smooth, and it makes it feel much more complicated and overwhelming. The other thing I'll say about the game is I just recently spent about 4 hours at my friend Megan's house teaching her how to play the game because the tutorial doesn't do an awesome job of it. The tutorial does a really awesome job if you've played quite a bit of D&D, but you kind of forgot some things. It's really good at reminding you what things are what. But if you're coming from an area where you don't really have any sort of D&D or a very minimal D&D understanding, it's a very overwhelming thing. So the other feature I think is really great to have in games is like, when there's different levels of tutorials, which I've only seen in a couple of games before, but you can essentially say, you know, oh, I'm like somewhat familiar with this, or like I'm brand new.
Yeah.
And I think this one would have really benefited from a, hey, I'm brand spanking new at this. I don't know what these words mean, because there's so much going on in the game, especially at the beginning.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Another game of feature I love, if we're just continuing this list, is different types of difficulties. I like
you like different types of difficulties?
I do, and I'm really excited to do an honor mode run in Baldur's Gate, and I know I'm gonna be sad if I die in it, but I love when there's very specific types of difficulty levels that fit the game really well. So the thing I love about the honor mode idea is theoretically that is what D&D is, right? If you get a total party kill, you're kind of done, right?
Yeah, which is a good, like, that's a good feature.
Yeah,
like if, that feels...
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously not everyone wants to play like that, and every DM, even in real life, is going to do it differently and let people resurrect to a certain point. But I do love the idea that, like, you know, you have to just deal with whatever the dice give you kind of thing. You have to just deal with whatever happens in battle. And if everyone dies, everyone dies. That's as far as you got.
I have a question for you about difficulties, because you said you like the different difficulties. How do you feel about a game only letting you play the hardest difficulty after you've beaten the game?
I hate that.
So yeah.
Like, for example, Spider-Man 2
has
some amazing difficulties, being named Friendly Neighborhood, Friendly, Amazing, Spectacular, and Ultimate. In Friendly Neighborhood, you literally cannot get like killed. Like, it's a great like, this is for story mode only, and then there's like your basic easy, medium, hard. And then Ultimate's only unlocked after you beat the game, and then there's new game
I
plus.
Hate that.
So the whole thing is like you can play
unless
you can play
you're
the
not
going to
make an achievement or trophy for the ultimate difficulty.
No, the trophy doesn't matter. Like I, spoiler alert, I platinumed Spider-Man 2.
Okay,
I beat the game.
Not a spoiler.
It. It's a spoiler. We're going to talk about what games we're playing later.
Finished the game.
Spoiler alert for when you ask me what games I'm playing right now. It's not Spider-Man 2.
Oh,
what?
Because I beat it. The difficulty doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's just there for you. And, like, basically the way they do it is, like, you unlock New Game Plus, which, for, like, anybody who doesn't know what that is, like, you keep all of your abilities in your level and you just start the game over. So, like, you would play the game on, like, hard, and then you get to level 60, you have your whole ability tree unlocked, and then you start the game again with your whole ability tree unlocked and all your abilities, and you're level 60, and they're, like, make the game harder kind of thing. But it's like, knowing you, you'd probably just want to play on Ultimate like the first run through.
Yeah, I would have just done Ultimate the first time. Literally, the only reason I didn't do Honor mode, which is the hardest mode in Baldur's Gate, is because it was my first play.
But it also changes the mechanics. Like, it's not just like it's harder.
Yeah, it changes. Like, it's got mechanics. And I do like when there are mechanic changes. I think that fits really well.
Yeah.
So one of the things that, because I'm playing on Tactician, which is the second hardest difficulty, so it goes Explorer, Balance, Tactician, and Honor mode, and then you have a custom mode, which is really cool. But Explorer is your easy baby mode. Tactician is like your normal mode. Balanced is your normal, and then Tactician is your hard, and then Honor mode is your like death march. Extremely difficult.
Yeah. Survival mode.
Survival mode, whatever you want to call it. But like in Tactician, there's several different changes, but one of the ones I know about for sure is that's when all the legendary actions of bosses actually come into play. So they don't have that in the lower difficulties, which makes your boss fights a lot easier. But forget that. I want to play, like, if I'm fighting a dragon, I want to feel like I got to know what I'm doing or I'm going to get fucked up. I don't think you should be able to just go in and fight a dragon.
Not me.
The dragon's going to... Yeah, you want to be able to just do it.
Yeah.
But I want to feel like I'm fighting a dragon. Like, it means something. Like I said, I was hanging out with my friend and she was playing on Explorer mode because she is here for a good time and not a hard time. And she was going through the beginning and I was like, yeah, okay, so like everything's different. It is so much different when you're playing on Explorer. The amount of enemies, like I could, like even being 80 hours into the game, and this had been 88 game hours ago that I did the beginning, I was like, I remember that there was more people here. I remember that their health was much higher than this. Like, there were these small little enemies and they had 10 health. And I was like, I'm pretty sure they had like 30 or 35. And I had just loaded into the game. Like, it meant something to go into there.
Yeah. Very, very different experiences. Mm-hmm. I have one that's more of a mechanic.
Okay.
Absolutely. Love the PlayStation 5 haptic triggers. I know a lot of games, like with bow and arrows, they like the more you push the trigger, it like pulls the bow and it's supposed to feel real. The game that does this, like the haptic triggers that I've noticed the best, mm-hmm. Ratchet and Clank, a Rift. Is it a Rift Apart? Which Ratchet and Clank is it? Yeah, so
yeah,
Ratchet
and
Clank, Rift Apart. The biggest thing, like for anybody who hasn't played Ratchet and Clank before, it's like the guns are fun. Like it's not just a gun. It's like a gun that does something. One of my favorite guns is called Mr. Fungi. It shoots out a giant mushroom man who turns the enemies into more mushroom men. Very fun, very cool. But the triggers are like so revolutionary to the guns. So like the main gun that you have is a burst pistol. If you pull the right trigger down 50%, it just shows the reticle. So it's like aiming down the sights. If you pull it 60%, it goes into single shot mode. And then if you pull it the whole way, it's like rapid fire. If you're throwing a bomb and you pull it 50% of the way, it shows like the grenade arc. So you know where it's going to land. If you pull it the whole way, it throws the bomb. One of the biggest ones, though, is like the sniper rifle. So if you pull this like the left trigger halfway, you view through the scope. If you pull it the whole way, it slows down time. So you can like get a true headshot. And then if you do the right side, 50% of the way, it loads the shot in because it's like a bolt action rifle kind of thing. So 50% loads the shot and then 100% fire. So it's like you're pulling halfway to aim, halfway to load, then full to slow down time, and then full. And it's just like
is there like a bump at 50%? Like,
yeah, so no, you can feel it. Like it's
so the like whole, you push it, yeah.
The whole time it's heavy. And like at the first time I played the game, I was like, is my controller broken? Because I was trying to use the rifle and like every single Ratchet and Clank game, like the first gun you always have is always the same. Every other gun is different, but like you always start off with like a burst rifle. And like I was trying to pull it, I'm like, it's giving me so much pressure. And then as soon as I would put it away and I had my wrench, it's just like normal trigger. And I was like, this is so weird. And like Spider-Man had a bit of haptic feedback when you were swinging on the webs. And like when you were doing stuff, it kind of had haptic feedback, but nothing compared to like this game. Like this game was like,
yeah,
we are going to push the features to 100%.
Yeah.
And it was just like, once you get used to like having that much force pushing back at you, I was like, this is really fun. Like, it made the guns fun. And like, Ratchet and Clank has always been about having fun guns. I literally didn't even play the story. Like, I played it for like probably 10 hours. I'm like halfway through the story, didn't care for it. Like, I'm playing for the mechanics to look at the pretty colors. Like, I am, I do not care about what Ratchet and Clank are going through right now. There are rifts apart from each other. I couldn't explain any of the plot to you. I played 10 hours of this game, couldn't describe the plot. The colors are pretty. The load times are insane. Like, it's definitely showing, like, what next gen. I know it's fucking 2024, but this game came out.
Wasn't like a launch ago. Title?
Yeah.
It was like almost a launch title for the PS5. Like, it came out right when the console came out.
I think it pretty much. It came out in 2021. So I think that's about the time.
I don't know how long the PS5 has been out for. Probably about that long. But yeah, I know like Horizon Forbidden West launch? Also used, like, for the bow, it also used like you could like feel the more you pushed it, the more it pushed back.
The PlayStation 5 released in 2020, Ratchet and Clank released in 2021, but like, it released November 2020 and then Ratchet and Clank about June 2021, so it was like basically almost a launch title.
Yeah,
I think Horizon was also like pretty close there.
Yeah,
you can feel, you were saying you can like feel the bow.
Yeah, when you first start, it just feels like you're pulling a normal R2 button, but then as like the farther you pull it, the harder it got, the
harder it gets,
until you got to like full, and then it was like really hard to like hold that, like it was like really fucking,
it almost wanted
you.
To like
it wanted to let go, like a bow would, right?
I
think it's one of my favorite, it was one of the favorite mechanics. There's Spider-Man 2 uses it a little bit, where like you have to break rocks in half.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, it's for the Sandman. He's the first boss you face, but like, you have to crack crystals and like, that's the only time really where like you really feel it, where you're like, I have to force my like, and then like, technically it does it when you're swinging, but like, it's just kind of vibrating just to kind of like give you that feel. But like, when you really feel it, like, I'm excited to play Horizon, see what that's like.
Yeah,
really,
it is though. They didn't use it a lot, like I haven't played it in a while, but the like only thing I can remember really feeling the feedback for was the bow. I know, like, for most of the sports games, I end up just turning it off. Like, they have features.
For what?
So, like, in NHL, when your player got tired, it was harder to pass. Like, it was harder to hit. It was just harder to hit
hilarious.
The button.
That's such a cool feature. Why would you turn that off?
Because it was annoying. It was just, because, like, I don't want, like, I just want to hit the fucking pass button. I don't care if the pass is, like, I don't care if it's inaccurate. Make the pass inaccurate, that's fine. Like, I'm tired, I get it. But, like, I don't want to physically have to push harder on the controller to, like, click the button. Like, it didn't really feel like, it didn't, like, add to the immersion. It was just, like, this is annoying. This is, like, an annoying feature. Because also, if like, you're not paying attention, like, because it also, like, I felt like it was too hard. Like, I understand maybe making it a little bit harder to push it.
But then you're, like, you put your player off, get your player off the ice.
I guess. But, like, still, it was just. But I would leave it on for like F1, because like when you drive over the curbs, like it would like push would back on the gas pedal, or if you were like losing traction of the car, like it would push back on the brake or the gas pedal or whatever if you were locking up.
That's fine. That's nice.
Like that was good. And it also like
cool features.
Now that I'm using the wheel, it's actually fucked me, because I had a much better understanding of where the traction limit was on the car when I was able to feel it in the triggers. And now that I have pedals,
feedback on your pedals,
the pedals don't have any feedback. The wheel does. So I can feel like if the car like goes over something, but if I'm losing traction,
you have to get a more expensive, you should spend more money and get better pedals.
I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to have to figure it out.
That's the problem.
I'm just going to have to be better, man.
You should spend more money just on pedals.
No, it's okay. I don't think I will.
All right. Any other features you're dying to say that you love?
I got
one
more
mode. I got one more quick one.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead, Taco?
Okay. So Diablo 4 recently got added to Game Pass. So I started playing that.
I'll brag about it.
Yeah. I have
Game Pass. You know what? This is actually on my list.
Diablo 4?
You... Diablo 4.
Diablo 4 being added to Game Pass? Sick.
Okay, so I've never played Diablo 4, but I wonder if what I'm about to say is the same as Sacco. No, I've never played any Diablo. But I will say, Sacco told me something about this game, and I want it for Baldur's Gate, in which you can apply, I guess, the stats on any piece of armor to a different looking, like, aesthetic.
That is the fucking best feature of any single fucking
RPG. Let me tell you how I don't want my cleric going around in like full armor. I want her to look.
Yeah.
But I don't want her to die.
Yeah.
So she's going around in her like half plate armor, which is fine. It looks fine. It looks good. I'm actually okay with it. But there's this one outfit I got after I beat this kind of mini boss. And I love it how it looks on her. But it's armor class 10, and I'm not about to do that on tactician. Because she's gonna get dyed. Gonna get dyed immediately. I would have to take it off before I went into any fight and put on my actual armor. For the
cutscenes?
Yeah.
Yeah, just for the cutscenes.
What if instead of a feature where you can put armor on, what if you had like an auto change that every time you entered battle, you put on battle armor and then you had like
A little bit of a feature where you can use your camp clothes. Yeah. As the aesthetic and just walk around in those, but I don't want to walk around in my camp clothes.
Like, want armor, you just
that
want
when
different
I go
armor.
To sleep at night, I have like camp clothes, like chill clothes.
Yeah,
but I want to be able to have armor that cutscene looks armor. Kind of like armor, but looks more like what I would expect a cleric to wear and not this half plate armor, even though I get that realistically, like that's what the cleric would wear in a fight because they want to be protected too. But I just want to wear the one piece of armor, and I can't.
Yeah, so this
I
was,
want that feature in Diablo, even though I've never played the game. Yeah. I think it's awesome.
So
it's a good armor.
It's a good feature. And the thing is, I feel like it's a double-edged feature because like I know the reason they put it in this game is because they added a battle pass, and there's cosmetics in the battle pass.
Mm.
So you can make your armor look like... So they want you to buy armor. It has no stats. Like, you still have to pick up everything in-game to get the good stuff. But, like, you can make it look like however you want. So in Diablo 3...
You pay
3,
them a lot of money. You get to make it look like whatever you want. But you're still... It's not pay per...
It's not pay to win. It's just pay to look cool. Right?
Yeah, which is... That's how it should be. That is exactly how it
right?
should be.
Right? So now, every time... Not in every, like, city, but most cities have a wardrobe. You just walk up to like a wardrobe and you click it, and then you have like all your options for like how you want it to look. So you can like just basically you can like unequip stuff, so like it looks like you don't have like so like I for a while I just had no helmet on, but I still was wearing a helmet, so I got all the helmet stats. But then I'm a necromancer, and I picked up this really cool helmet that was like a goat skull with horns.
Sick.
It's a sick helmet. And I was like, fuck, now I want
sounds sick.
Now this is what I want to be wearing at all times. So I went back to, I immediately like went back to like the town, went to the wardrobe, and like, it was a shit helmet. But what you do is if you go to a blacksmith and salvage it, it'll save the look. So you still have to like get the stuff.
Yeah.
Like when you pick up something and it looks cool, you're like, oh fuck, I can't wait to like salvage that. And then just wear that, even though it's like a shit item. So I have like a really good helmet that just looks like a standard like knight's helmet, but it doesn't look like that when I'm wearing it. It looks like the goat skull, which is sick. And like they have a thing called a focus, so it's just something that like floats in your offhand. And the one I have right now is like a book, but I have a look unlocked that's like an eye. It's like a floating eyeball, but it's like all red and like glass, and so it looks sick. So like it's really cool that like I can just go in and make my armor look however I want, and you can like save an outfit. So now that I've saved an outfit, even if I pick up a new item, my appearance doesn't change. I just get the stats.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
and like, yeah, you
I,
can,
feel,
like, say,
I feel like that's an RPG feature. Like I feel like everybody's
such a good RPG feature. Yeah,
an RPG where they're like, I hate the way I look.
I get what you're saying. And you can even like, you can still go in and be like, so if I get a new cool item and I don't want to salvage it, like it is actually a good item, I can go back to the wardrobe and just take off the like,
whatever
I have equipped and just go default look, and then I can be using whatever item I just picked up as the like appearance. Like it's a really good feature.
Yeah, I will say, if you make an RPG and you don't give me the ability to hide helmets, I'm never putting on a helmet.
Like you would rather go without the stats.
No, like you could give me the best helmet in the game, that's going to let me be just feel almost invincible.
Okay, Marissa.
And I'm not going to wear it.
If you wear this helmet, you instantly win every fight you enter. But
Marissa doesn't want that.
It's the biggest, most obnoxious helmet ever.
Marissa wouldn't wear that anyways.
No, I'm not wearing it. Right. I'm not wearing that on Prince. That one could look good and I wouldn't wear it. Know your audience, Sacco.
Fair enough. Matt, jeez. Matt, there's a helmet.
I would wear it.
But it's the ugliest helmet you've ever seen. The game.
I would hate it. Well, maybe
yeah, you would
honestly
hate the game, and then you would stop playing.
Maybe I would not wear it.
It was just a block of cheese. That was your head now.
I would wear a block
that,
of cheese.
He wants that. Up.
I would wear that. I would wear that if it had zero stats.
What if it had negative stats?
Yeah, I might. Depends on what else you got on.
His like, character is blind
it's
now.
It's just like it slowly kills you. As you walk, you take damage every time you take a stab. It's like
you
I got
spell you still like rotting cheese so no one wants to talk to you.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a feature, not a
it's a feature, not a bug.
It's a feature, not a bug.
All right. Well, anything else to mention?
I have one more, but if we're about to talk about what games we're playing, I'd love to talk about it then because I'm playing a new game.
All right. Well, what are you playing, Matt?
First and foremost, I beat Spider-Man 2. I platinumed Spider-Man 2. It's a fantastic game.
Whoa.
Absolutely loved it. I loved it so much that I replayed Spider-Man 2000 on my PC.
Oh.
Maybe illegally, maybe not. Nobody needs to know, but I beat that game again. Couple things to note. PlayStation 1 games, you don't have to fight the goons. You could just walk right by them and go straight to the boss, and the cutscene will still happen. So, flew right through that game.
Yeah,
fair enough.
I remember specifically, if anybody has played this game, there's the scene where Scorpion is attacking J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
And you have to get to him before the Scorpion
kills
him.
Oh, yeah, I never fought those guys. Never.
I always used to.
Why?
Because you're running, and then they're shooting
what
at you. You gotta punch
fight here.
Shoot at me. I don't give a fuck.
There was another one where you're running away from the cops and they're shooting at you. You don't have to fight any of them.
Matt, I understand like fighting the ones in the sewers, like when you're like...
Nah, I didn't fight the lizards either. Fuck that.
Yeah, I understand. I ran but, like, right by the him. Ones where you're like running through, obviously you're not supposed to fight them. Just go.
I think I used to play the game on easy and this time I played it on normal.
Yeah,
I couldn't fight a single symbiote.
Yeah, you can't fight them.
I was dying, like I was trying, and they're like not taking any damage. And I was like, I'm getting so fucking frustrated.
They're vulnerable to fire damage.
I know that, but you only unlock the fire after like the second level. You have to fight through a whole horde. Also, I think the hardest part about this game is the fucking mechanics. Like the Mysterio fight took me a solid hour.
Because you kept missing this fucking bulbs.
I beat this game in maybe 4 hours. I beat the whole game. And a full hour of it was the Mysterio fight, and I thought I was gonna bite a controller. Like I was on the verge of biting. I was like, there's four directional buttons.
I don't know, our angry skill is zero to bite a controller.
It was just there's no analog sticks yet. It's an old game. It's up, down, left, right. I'm clicking the direction you want me to click, and it's fucking missing. And it's like, just aim the fucking web. Spider-Man, just aim the fucking like, and it was just I kept dying because he wasn't aiming, and I'm like, the hardest part about this game is that the mechanics were fucking shit.
Yeah, I remember the Mysterio fight being losing fucking mind. Annoying because you have to hit those stupid little bulbs.
You have to hit those stupid bulbs on him, and then like the floor is electric, and like he would throw me to the ground, and then it'd be electric, and then I would stand up, and then I would get electrocuted again, and then I would stand up and get electrocuted again. So like you just have to play the whole level without getting hit once. Else it was just as like you were just in a repetitive. This is going to kill you. Like, you can't get out of this kind of thing. It was fucking annoying. But I loved that game also. I'm glad I played it again. Spider-Man 2 brought me there because a lot of the villains, spoiler alert, overlapped. The game I'm currently playing is called Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh. Ooh.
I don't know if...
Isn't that like a hard game?
Maybe. It might be. There's difficulty levels.
Matt, what happened to The Witcher?
I'm playing it still. It's still downloaded on my computer. Fun feature, though, maybe a game mode, if you will, for Ghost of Tsushima. They have, when you start the game, like it asks you how you want to play. And it was like, do you want English with English subtitles, Japanese with English subtitles, or do you want to play the Kurosawa mode? And I was like, let's take a look at what this is. So the Kurosawa mode is named after Akira Kurosawa, who was a famous Japanese filmmaker. It makes the whole game black and white with film grain and sound scratches, Japanese language, English subtitles.
That's cool.
It feels like you were playing an old samurai movie. Like I was literally sitting and watching it, and I was like, this looks so fucking cool. And like, I turned it off specifically just because the regular game looks really cool. And I don't, have either of you played this game before?
No.
You basically are just, you're a samurai. Like, you wake up, the Mongols are attacking Japan. And you're kind of struggling with, so far the beginning of the game is basically like, you have a code of honor and you're like, I will kill a man by looking in his eyes and I will not sneak around and like, I'll never attack unannounced kind of thing. Like, I will win all my fights purely. And then the Mongols, like when you, like the very first cutscene, you walk up, the leader walks up to me, he's like, fight me with honor. Like, who will fight me? And then they just walk up to him and cut off his head. And like, they're like, fuck you, we're taking over your land. So you're kind of like struggling with, if you try and fight with honor, they're going to backstab you. But it's very much like samurai code. But the game is fucking beautiful. So it was originally made for the PlayStation 4. They remastered for the PlayStation 5. There's like leaves falling and like wind blowing through the grass. So like, the game itself is already like so such a beautiful game. And I was like, I feel like this game mode, like the Kurosawa game mode, would be perfect for like a second playthrough. I'm kind of trying to rush through the game. Like, I have a lot of games on my list I'm trying to get through, so I'm like, I'm just gonna play it on the regular mode. I do a lot of stuff in the background too, so it's like the Japanese with English subtitles, like it sounds so much more authentic and it's like super cool. But I'm like doing 15 things at once, so I'm playing it the basic mode. But it's such a beautiful, and it's like also just so, there's every time you walk up to a fort, you basically call out and you're like, somebody face me with honor. And like, you obviously alert the guards and they walk up to you and there's a button you can press that you just like, if you time it properly, you kill them in one slice. So you're just standing there with your hand on your katana and then they're walking up to you charging and you're just like, sah! And then they just like fall into two parts. And it's just like, this is so fun. Like, it's such a beautiful game.
That sounds cool. Yeah.
Anybody that likes like samurais or any sort of Japanese, like the Japanese culture in it, it's like, a fantastic, definitely a beautiful game. Definitely recommend it. I'm having a lot of fun. I haven't played too much of it. I'm like maybe 5 hours in, but it's a really beautiful game.
I'm glad you're enjoying it because I've heard a lot about that game.
I would recommend anybody that's like thinking about maybe playing it or like looking for a shorter game. One of the reasons like I kind of went towards it was because I was like, the how long to beat was like 25 hours. The thing that's stressing me out though is that the long play was like 60 hours, like closer to 70 hours. And like, now that I started playing it, I'm like, fuck, I kind of want to just walk around this island and like find everything, so I might play longer. But the reason to answer your question is that I know The Witcher is like a 100-hour game, and I was like, I need like a quick 20-hour.
That's fair.
It's another thing.
The PlayStation 1 had Tsushima would have been longer than that, but yeah, that's fair.
I think like the story missions, like now that I'm looking at it,
running through the game quickly, 25 hours.
It's very possible, like if you were just doing main story,
yeah.
To like, I'm already like, I can see the exact progression of, I just need to recruit people to help me take down this Mongol like king.
Yeah.
And like, some people are already joining my team, and then it's like, there's other missions where it's like, if you follow the fox, it'll take you to like a secret den and like a nice like statue. And I'm like, I'm gonna fucking walk through the forest and like follow this fox. Like, I kind of want to see where this is going.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's definitely a lot to explore.
That's right.
And it's such, yeah, it's such a beautiful game. So it's like, you could easily put 100 hours into it. But the main story is very clear. But yeah.
Okay.
Very nice.
That's kind of what I'm doing.
Sago, how about you?
The usual, with Diablo added, I guess. So the main games I'm playing right now, that I've been
when
putting
did Diablo
a lot of time
4
into.
Come out? Diablo 4 is like a new, is the new one, right?
Came out a year ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
But since
have you played it before? Or is it your first playthrough?
I played a lot of Diablo 3 and I played the public beta.
That wasn't
beta.
My fucking question.
Wait, let me explain. And I played the public beta of Diablo 4. And because I played the public beta, I got a really cool cosmetic item that I was able to equip in the wardrobe. It was I have a little backpack, and in the backpack is a little wolf club. So I just carry around That's a little cool. wolf club with me. Little... yeah, at all times. So I didn't play it. Because I didn't bother buying it, because the game came out and then Microsoft was already in the process of buying Activision.
So you were like
Activision Blizzard. So I was like, I'm just gonna wait. Like, it's gonna get on Game Pass eventually. I'm just gonna wait for it to show up on Game Pass. It's a fun game. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a lot of fun. I'm like probably halfway through the story, I think. It's a
very
fun.
Replayable game though, isn't it? I feel like
the whole
even Diablo
point
3
of it. The whole point of it, like, is to replay.
Going,
like, once you get,
keep going.
Yeah, like once you get to like max level, you get like paragon levels. So, like, you're constantly leveling up.
Yeah,
it just levels up your stats at that point. And you're like supposed to kind of replay it over and over again to get like good loot. So like, certain bosses will have like a very low chance to drop like really cool legendary items. So you're supposed to like just redo boss fights over and over again.
Yeah.
All right.
Marissa has Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate is great. I love it. I will be playing it for a very long time because I have like 3 playthroughs that I want to do.
I love how you already know how many, like you're like, yeah. I just need to have this time on my second playthrough, I'm going to fuck the bear. On the third playthrough, I'm going to...
Will not I'm be fucking kidding. The bear.
Yeah, but like I'll be I'll do use Matt, a different class.
What's your loss?
I will let Matt fuck the bear.
One day I'll play that game and I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, let me know how the bear is. I'm very much enjoying it. I am close to the end, so I feel like there's two main things that I have to do to get to the final fight.
Is there? Sorry to interrupt. Is there a lot of like side story or like plot that
there's
you can
a lot of side stuff? Yeah.
When you say you're close to the end, like, is it a game where you can just wander around forever? Or is it kind of like once you do the side quest, you're pretty much just
kind of like you could just wander in whatever. But I mean, there's not really like a lot of content outside of the side quests at the same time. But there's a lot of levels to the side quests and there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Like, I am 87 hours into the game.
Yeah. I guess 87. I was like, you're already almost done? And then, like, 87 hours. Like, yeah. I would kind of hope you're kind of almost done.
Yeah.
Because there's so many endings you could.
Yeah. And I mean, that's also saying that I'm not playing it in a super completionist way. So there was some stuff that I didn't know for sure. Well, there's, depending on some choices you make in Act 2, you close off a lot of quests. Mm-hmm. There and I didn't actually complete all of them, mostly because I thought I had, and then I remembered one that I just like completely forgot about, and then there was another one that I wasn't actually sure it was gonna close, and it did. So, and they warn you ahead of time, so I wasn't really mad about it, but I as soon as it said it was closed, I was like, oh right, those ones I forgot that somebody asked me to do. That
whoopsies.
Guess I'm never bringing you that mushroom. Yeah, it was like something like that.
Yeah.
And so you could go more in depth. I do feel like I explored most of the areas, but I'm sure I still miss stuff at the same time. And when you get to Act 3, you are more in a city setting, and I don't know if I've missed some quests there just because like I haven't stopped and talked to every single person on the street. So like theoretically there's potentially a lot more content to be had in it. I don't know. But and there's also ways to shorten it. I think I'm taking one of the longer routes to the final fight.
Yeah.
There's definitely easier ways to get ready for the final fight that just don't align with how I'm playing the game. So I'm just not doing them.
Which is fair.
How was that for spoiler-free analysis? I feel like that was pretty
perfect.
Good.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
All right. Well, any final thoughts, guys?
I think
have
the
fun.
Fact, oh, yep. Do that one. That's better. Yeah, have fun.
Be free. Have fun.
do what makes you happy.
Be free. Have fun. All right. Well, with that, that's it. That's all. We're at the end of today's podcast. So thank you so much for listening. If you want to go share some thoughts or just talk about video games or talk to me about Baldur's Gate or Matt about any of the games he's playing or Zach about any of the games he's playing, go check us out in our Discord server. Link is in the description of this podcast. We also have a Twitter, a Instagram, and a TikTok at Crown Heathens on all those. Finally, we stream video games, usually Tuesdays and sometimes other times throughout the week. So go check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/crownheathens to find us there. Otherwise, we thank you one more time for listening. And as always, we will catch you in the next one. Bye, friends.
If I remember when I post the podcast, I'll try and get a screenshot of my Diablo character and post that in the Discord.
Well, now you have to.
I said if I remember.
Listening to this and if you don't see a picture of this, you could go on Discord and yell at Sacco.
Ping me in Discord and I'll
you can yell at him. Zacko.
I'll get that posted.
I know as technology gets better, like there's supposed to be better features. like lower wait times, and I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. Like in Spider-Man 2, when you fast travel, you can go anywhere on the map and just click fast travel, and then literally with no wait time, it just zooms in on the map, and then Spider-Man's there, like swinging in, and it's like, yeah, it's just like technically he swung there, and you just didn't have to watch it.
Yeah,
but I think that's a cop out. I think load times sometimes are fun. Like in Spider-Man 1, when you fast traveled, you had to go to a subway stop, and then you can fast travel to anywhere on the subway line. And it would,
yeah,
you would see a little cutscene of Peter Parker or like Spider-Man in his spider outfit, just like on the subway, like on his phone. And it's just like, I think that's fucking hilarious. Like,
yeah,
Spider-Man takes the subway.
Yeah, I think like if you're gonna have like fast travel, you should have like waypoints. Yeah. Like Diablo has waypoints. Like when I explore a new area, there's every once in a while there's like a little rune on the ground, and I have to like walk up to it and like click on it.
Like that's what you could like in Ghost of Tsushima. It's like there's huts and like cities. Like you can fast travel to the city kind of thing.
And like in Witcher had the signposts.
Witcher had like the signposts.
Yeah,
but I think that that's just they didn't have the technology. And like Spider-Man 2 has the technology to just.
I mean, Diablo is a it's drop a ne- in. That's a next no gen game. Time. Like it's just like they want you to explore. Like you run into stuff on the way, right?
Well, you can't just fast travel anywhere without exploring. You have to go there first.
Yeah,
but like once you unlock the district, you also have to. You can't just fast travel right away. You have to like do a certain amount of crime saving.
Oh, they're like so you have to unlock like different, the ability to fast travel.
Yeah, you unlock the ability to fast travel
it's
to
a
that.
Privilege, dish. Not a right.
Well, it's because like you have to kind of like explore, right? So it's like the districts. So, like you can't just fast travel anywhere in Brooklyn until you saved enough people in Brooklyn to unlock the fast travel ability.
I see.
But it's also just like New York is so big that like, and you can literally go anywhere in New York. So the swinging is only good for so long. And then eventually you're like, fuck. Like by late game, I was fucking fast traveling everywhere. I was like, I don't have time.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, I get it.
Gotta save the city. Venom is taking, spoiler alert.
I get it.
Venom is taking over.
But like, you could have kept the like subway thing, and that was cool. That's a cool feature.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it was just because they had to load where you were going.
Yeah, but you can still have the like press A to skip. Or press X to skip. Yeah. Like have the subway scene, but like press X to skip.
The fast travel in Spider-Man 2 felt genuine. Like it would like the way. So you'd have the map of the city, like in like a 3D kind of futuristic like simulation kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like you'd click on it, and then it would like zoom in, and then you'd be in the real city, and like Spider-Man would swing in from the side of the screen. And be like, that was cool. Like it looks the cinematic was cool, but like immediate kind of.
Yeah, fair enough.
Bring back the subway.
Bring back the subway.
Hashtag bring back the subway.
Yeah.
Public transit is important.